couple of shilas that came up this week. Last week was Pesach, so I was on the second days of Pesach. I was in a hotel. First days I was home, and then Chol HaMoed I was in a hotel, and the second days I was in the hotel. And one of the enjoyable things about going to a hotel is not only more food than you could ever possibly imagine consuming, and like things like bread and stuff like that. In addition to all of those geshmack things, sometimes they have really wonderful scholars in residence. So you get to hang out with very nice and chashva rabbanim. So I had the opportunity to spend some time with the other speakers that were there. And one of the other speakers that was there is a very chashva talmud chacham, Rabbi Dr. Howie Apfel, who is a cardiologist and a cardiologist second. He's a Rebbe in Torah Traga, and I think he teaches the top shir in Torah Traga, and he's a cardiologist, fantastic Rebbe and Talmud Chacham and all of those things. Now, I think, right, does he give a class here for the medical ethics? Yeah, so he is a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Now, one of the fun things that he lives in Israel, right? So one of the things that changes when you live in Israel and you come to America, so really he only has to keep one day of Yantiv. Obviously he can't do any malacha on day two of Yantiv, especially when day two of Yantiv is Shabbos, right? So obviously he's not going to do any malacha. But Meikra did Shabbos, what was Achron Shel Pesach for us, for him, was not Achron Shel Pesach. It was Shabbos. It was regular Shabbos. That's why we have the discrepancy in the laning for the next several weeks between here and Eretz Yisrael, which causes all sorts of fun Shnaya Mikra Shailas. Maybe we'll get to that some other time. But here was the Shaila. The hotel made early Shabbos on Friday. Well, that's the only time you can make early Shabbos. They made early Shabbos on Friday. And the Su'udas Shabbos, why did they make early Shabbos? Why would a hotel make early Shabbos? So there's a shtick. They make early Shabbos, first of all, because people prefer to have dinner at 7, not to have dinner at 8:30 or whatever, right? So they wanted to have an early dinner. But also, there's a chap. The kitchen staff didn't make early Shabbos. Only the people on the outside made early Shabbos. So the kitchen staff, it's still Yontif. So they're allowed to cook, and everything can be fresh and delicious or whatever. They don't have to rely on, you know, taking things out of warmers on Shabbos or whatever. So that was one reason they make, that was the other reason they make early Shabbos. But be that as it may, the Su'udah started at 7 o'clock, and let's say ended at 9 o'clock, right? You end whenever you want to end, but let's say it ended at 9 o'clock. So now, Su'udah started at 7 o'clock, that's before Shkia, that's when it's still really Friday, but we made early Shabbos, and then it ended at 9 o'clock when it's definitely already Shabbos. Now, for the rest of us, by the time we're benching, it's Shabbos, it's a Su'udas Shabbos, we're clearly saying Ritzeh, and we're saying Yalav Yavo, because it's Yantiv anyway, both days are Yantiv, so we're clearly saying both. Rabbi Apfel pointed out that he was in a unique situation. Should he say Ritzeh, Yalav Yavo, both? How does he handle that situation? Because for him, by the time he ended his meal, it was no longer Yalav Yavo territory, right? It was no longer Yantif. So I thought that was an interesting Shaila. It relates to, but it's not exactly the same as the Shaila many of us are going to have this Motzai Shabbos. If I'm not mistaken, this Motzai Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. So you're going to have a Shalosh Shudas because there's a requirement to have a Shalosh Shudas. So you're going to be eating Shalosh Shudas, and the Shalosh Shudas can go late into the, you know, past Tesa Kochavim, and you're going to keep on eating because that's what we do, and that it's going to come time to bench, and we'll see. That's really not what you're supposed to do this Motzai Shabbos. The easiest thing to do is to not continue eating. But let's say you do. It's going to come time to bench. Should you say Ritzeh? Should you say Yalav Yavo? You can't say both, or can you? Can you say both, even though it's a stira to say both? Similar Shaila, not exactly the same. If you choose to discuss this, we will talk about why it's not exactly the same. A second Shaila came up on Monday, I think it was Monday this past week. All of the Jewish news media outlets, Matzav.com and the Jewish, what is it called? Yeshiva World News and the and all over Vos Nice still exists, and all over your from Twitter feeds and everything, there was a and your WhatsApp groups, I was forwarded at least five times the list from the Star K of all the beers that one may not eat to ruin every Shalom Zachar, all the beers that one may not purchase, because the most major beer distributor on the East Coast is a Jewish-owned company. It didn't take maybe an hour or two of this going around on social media till again, that was from the Star K in Baltimore, of Hanuman. It didn't take an hour or two. Then the OK sent a letter that also hit all of the internet, that attacked the internet, where the OK said, we don't understand why the Star K put out this blanket statement that this stuff is usher. We did the mechira for this company, and it would be nice if they would call us, if they weren't so standoffish in their lashon, but close to it. It would be nice if they would call us before they release all these, the statements about how our mechira is no good. And the Star K wrote back, not to the OK, but to the world. The Star K wrote, we think the OK did a very good thing by doing the mechira. We released that list prior to knowledge of any mechira. We released that list before Yantav when it looked like a mechira would not be done. So that list was made before any mechira was done. We think it's a great thing that the OK did the mechira. Oh yeah, and by the way, Star K certified companies may not buy any beer from anything that's on that list because that mechira is not good enough for us. So there. Okay, so now, again, I'm taking some liberty with the wording, but now the shaila is, what's the story? Everyone's like, what is going on over here? These are two of the most trusted names in kashrus. The OK and the Star K are two of the the big four, right? I think in terms of national hashkachos. So you can figure out the other. So what's going on over here? Is this OK? Is this not OK? Is this, I shouldn't use that. Okay. So what do we do? Okay. Third question. Someone, let's see which one, we'll take a Sfira question. Someone was in shul, and I forgot what night of the week was, it was on the 10th night of Sfira. The Chazan says the bracha of Sfira Sa'omer, and then he says, Hayom Tisha Yamim, Shem Shavua Echad V'Shnei Yamim, and right away someone screams out, no, tonight's the 10th night! Right? So the Chazan immediately corrects himself, and is ready to immediately correct himself. Now right at that moment, you're the rabbi of the shul. What do you instruct the guy who yelled out, and what do you instruct the chazan? Okay, that's the third question. So which one do we want to talk about? We want to talk about Rabbi Apfel's interesting Alev Yava Ritzei dilemma. Do we want to talk about whether you can have beer this Shabbos, assuming you're over 21 and you drink responsibly? And do we want to talk about Sfira Sa'omer? What? I'm shocked. Really? Okay, fine. So we'll talk a little bit about Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach. We'll talk a little bit about Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach as far as relates to this. Now, I have to say, I do not have any first-hand knowledge of the mechira that the OK does, but I have a suspicion of the kind of mechira that they probably do and what the Star K is. So this is not hard facts. This is a suspicion of what the issue is. And the reason why I'm suspicious that what I'm about to say, the issue is what the issue is because there's a similar dispute between kashrus organizations relating to a mechira that's done for an even bigger supplier of chametz that affects much, much more food than just a few beers. That's been going on for years. So the reality is, as far as I can surmise and guess, this is not a new shaila. It's not a new controversy. It's the same question, and I'll explain what I mean, Afarish Sichasi, very soon. It's the same question as whether you can go to Target and buy chametz in Target after Pesach. So let's take slowly. What do I mean by all of this? So first of all, I'm not going to go through the whole sugya chametz shavar lav pesach. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, we don't pass on Rabbi Huda. We pass on chametz shavar lav pesach that's owned by a Jew is problematic. It is usher. You have to get rid of it. I don't know if you saw in Arutz Sheva that story of the grocer in Jerusalem who used to have a deal that is, I guess he was in business with his brother, and his brother used to be the one in charge of selling their chametz every year. And I guess, I don't know, his brother died or is no longer in the business. business or something, or just didn't do the mechira, and here this grocer just, he was so used to not doing mechira, he realizes on Yantif, uh-oh, I didn't do a mechira. So you know what he did? He took 50,000 shekel worth of chametz and burnt it on Chol HaMoed, because chametz shavar lav haPesach is asr ba'anoa. Shulchan Aruch says, bein b'mezid, bein b'shogeg, bein ba'ones. Doesn't matter how, why, you violate chametz shavar lav haPesach, Aser Banam, maybe Onus Gomer is different. I think we discussed that last year. We're not going to discuss that again. What about so typically, what do? We do a Mechiras Chametz, right? How do we do a Mechiras Chametz? We take all of our Chametz, we put it behind closed cabinets or something, we lock it up, and we sell it. That's our, and the guy is given the right to have access to it, and to do a Mechira to avoid violation of an Isser is not something that only applies to Chametz. Rav Belsky, Zichron Levrach, in Shulchan Alevi, on page 128, in Shulchan Alevi, the Hebrew edition, just gives, he says, I'll give you a Rishima Ktsara, a short list of things that we do sales for in order to violate Isurim. He said, we sell chametz, obviously. Second, we sell businesses for Shabbos, when it has to operate on Shabbos and it's owned by a Jew. Third, we sell a behema mevakeres, an animal that's about to have a bechor, and a bechor has kedushas bechor. So you got to sell it to a guy so that it won't have kedushas bechor. Rav Shachter always tells the story of, he got a call from a rabbi in the Midwest who said that he's got a balabas, who's a farmer, and he's got a behema mevakeres, the pregnant animal, and he doesn't know what to do because the animal's going to have kedushas bechor. What do I do? So Rav Shachter told the rabbi, you should do a mechira to a guy. The rabbi said, how do I do that? He said, exactly the way you do Mechiras Chametz. So Rav Shachter said, the guy said, how do you do Mechiras Chametz? So Rav Shachter said, you've been a rabbi for 25 years. I think you're 25 years too late in asking, how do you do Mechiras Chametz? Okay, so you have selling the behemim vakeres to a guy. You have selling fields to a guy during Shemitah, right? This is that what's known as Heter Mechira. You have selling a behema to a guy for Sirus. We've discussed that as well. You're not allowed to neuter a pet. Oh, but if the guy owns the pet, maybe he's allowed to neuter it, which is also not so passion. We're not going to get into that again. You have selling Atse Mach La'akum La'afuke Miser Bal Tashchis. You have selling Batei Charoshes L'Klei Sudo L'Patr Mitvilas Kalim. You know, selling Kalim, that's also a shtick that a lot of times people do. They don't want to tovel their electrical appliances, so what do they do not to tovel that? They sell it to a guy. So it belongs to the guy, but it's in my house and I use it, and I'm the only one that's ever going to use it, but I sold it to a guy. So are all of these Mechiras equal? Are we allowed to just do Stam, any Mechira? So it's very important that the Mechira be serious. It has to be a real mechira that's understood and that's serious. Rav Belsky writes that if you do a mechira and business continues to run as usual with no change in the way that you relate to the chametz, that is not a valid mechira. That is a joke. The mechira should not be a joke. And Rav Belsky brings a beautiful raya, and Rav Shachter thought that this raya was fantastic. From Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, Simen Tzadi Tes, Si'if Zayin. Choshen Mishpat. Why? What does it say in Choshen Mishpat? Hakosev kol nechasav liacher. You decide you're giving all of your nechasim to somebody else. Va'achar kach lova me'acherim. Then you borrow money. Ah, clever, right? You gave away all your property. You put it all in your wife's name. Right? And then you borrow money. This is a yeshiva shtick, right? You borrow money. Oh, they can't come after you. I'm personally bankrupt. I have nothing. All the money is in my cousin's name or in my, this one's name. So it's all. So can you do that? Does that work la halacha? I'm kosev kol nechasav la'acherim, and then I borrow money. Ubiba amal v'ligvos chovo mitzav lahotzi shtar matana shekadam shtar chov. The malva comes to collect his chov. He say, sorry, I don't have anything. I already sold everything. I gave everything as a matana to my cousin. Va'kol rowin, and everybody sees. Says the Shulchan Aruch, shavu bishakosev kol nechasav la'acherim. Who machzik behem? V'nosin behem. He's still in possession of all of this property. He's still the one dealing with all this property. Nothing changed with the way he related to this property after he gave this so-called matana to his cousin. Obviously, he was just trying to avoid paying the Baal Chov, Shlo Yimtsu Mimal Ligvos, V'yochal Momen Acherim, Hamatana Betela, V'gova Baal Chov Mimena. The Baal Chov can collect it, that is not a matana, that is a joke. Afal Pisha Karmel Alva. So says Rav Belsky, exactly the same thing with a Mechira that doesn't change the way, if you do a Mechira and you don't change the way you interact with that Chametz, that Mechira is a joke. Such a mechira cannot be taken seriously. I happen to have been in the OU office a few weeks ago before Pesach, and one of the shilas that they brought into Rav Schechter at the time was that there was a company that makes, I think, energy bars, and they are owned 48% by a Jew and 52% by non-Jews. So the Jewish person has to sell their stake of ownership in the company, right, in order to do a proper mechira to maintain their OU status. And what did they do? They didn't trust the people that the OU normally does the mechira to. So what they wanted to do, the guy had a shtick. Who was the 52% non-Jewish ownership of the company? The 48% were these two brothers, right, two Jewish brothers. The 52% was their wives and children. Those were the non-Jews. They were married to non-Jews. Their wives and children were the 52%. So they wanted to sell. They didn't want to sell to Stam a guy that the OU is going to pick. They don't know if they're ever going to get their company back. So they wanted to sell to their little children. Their little children don't really have control of the company. The little children have what's called, what do they call it? The word is escaping me right now. They have a trust. It's in a trust, which means that the kids have no access to it. So who's in charge of the little children's part? The trustee. Who's the trustee? Daddy, right? He's the trustee. So the guy wanted to write a shtar where he's going to sell he's going to sell his 48% share in the company to the trust that is officially owned by his kids. And in order to make that sale, the trustee will sign on behalf of the kids. So the two signatures on the shtar, the mocher and the lokeach, will be the same guy. That is ridiculous, right? That's a joke. You can't do that. So Schechter laughed him out of the office. Oh, are you kidding me? We're not going to do that. Especially in that case, it's even worse. Because it's not just that it looks like a joke. It's mamish a joke. Because even though the kids may become the owner of it, at the end of Pesach, when it comes time to decide, should I pay up the full value, whatever it is, $2 million worth of that company is worth, should I pay up the full value of it, or should I not pay up and sell it back? The kids don't even have the ability to make that decision. Who's the only person that has the legal ability to make that decision? The Jew. You give me a mamish keeping everything in the absolute control of the Jew. That is not a valid mechira. Mechira has to be a serious business. So what happens to supermarkets? Supermarkets sell chametz and continues to function during Pesach. So most poskim thought that is fundamentally invalid. Rav Soloveitchik told Rabbi Ganak, and that's how it became policy of the OU, that if the supermarket continues to function on Pesach and sell chametz to customers, that is no good. However, there was one very, very big posek who disagreed and thought that the mechira is valid. And who is that? Anyone know this? Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe Nigrus Moshe, Archaim Chachal Simen Kuf Memtes, Chelfei Simen Sadi Aleph, Chelik Dalet Simen Sadi Hey. He was the one who, was the leading advocate of this type of transaction. He says, you're going to tell me the Mechira is a joke because he has no plan of stopping to do business. Well, at the time of his Mechira, you don't know what his plans are. That's all Dvarim Shebelev. Dvarim Shebelev, Enim Dvarim. All I know is what's written in the Shtar, and it says in the Shtar that he's selling his business. Furthermore, it could be that he really does want to sell his business because he wants Jews to be able to buy. He does want to sell his chametz. I shouldn't say sell his business. We're still at the stage of selling the chametz. He's selling all the chametz that he has, even though he's going to take that chametz that he has sold to a guy, Mr. Waldbaum, when Waldbaum's used to be a thing and used to be owned by a Jew. So it was sold to a guy. So he's going to take the chametz that he sold to John Brown, and he's going to resell it himself. So what is that, says Rav Moshe? That doesn't invalidate the sale to John Brown. You know what it does? What does it do? It makes Mr. Waldbaum a ganav. That's all it does. he's stealing from John Brown, but it doesn't invalidate the sale. That's Ramesh Shita. The OU does not follow Ramesh Shita. Both Rabbi Belskin and Rabbi Shechter thought that the more standard approach is to assume that such a mechira is a joke and that it doesn't count as a mechira at all. So what does the OU do with Jewish-owned businesses that make chametz? So Rabbi Luban has a very nice article explaining the OU Shita, and he points out that OU companies that are Jewish-owned are not allowed to manufacture or distribute chametz during Pesach, they're not allowed to buy chametz on Pesach, make chametz on Pesach, or sell chametz on Pesach. They're not allowed to deal with it. I saw just this morning, Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva that was written 3 years ago to Rav Shechter, where Rav Shechter clearly was asking on behalf of the OU, and the shaila was that OU Mashkichim came into a place, an OU plant, on Pesach, to check what was going on, to make sure that they weren't manufacturing, selling anything, and they saw that the people working in the plant were doing stuff with chametz. They were taking and putting into packages, and they said, well, what's going on over here? You guys aren't allowed to be doing this. They said, what do you mean we're not allowed to be doing this? They took out the instructions that they got from the OU. We may not purchase, manufacture, or sell. We are neither purchasing, manufacturing, or selling. We are packaging. That's all we're doing. We're taking it from big vats and putting it into little packages. That's all we're doing. So Rav Shechter asked Rav Asher Weiss what he thought about that. Should they aser everything? Should they aser all their chametz, or should they say that it's permissible? What was the tzad Rav Shechter had to say that it's aser? Because you don't want to deal with stolen property. Meaning, they're just like Mr. Waldbaum, if he were selling the chametz that he already sold to John Brown to any customer who walked in, he's a ganav. So you don't want to deal with stolen property. So if they're stealing now from the guy who really owns this chametz, it shouldn't be allowed to take from stolen property. So that's what Rav Shechter asked Rav Asher Weiss. Now Rav Asher pointed out that, look, he said, he didn't quote Rebelsky, he said, I agree with Rebelsky, Rav Soloveitchik, he didn't quote any of them, but he said, I agree 100% that if a place continues to run as normal, the shtar harsha'a, ein shtar harsha'a shava elolotzer al pitzlochiso. He uses the Talmudic expression, that shtar is worth nothing, because obviously no one is serious about it. However, he says, me'idach gisa kasafti b'tshuva acheres. He says, I've written in a different tshuva, if someone finds chametz in his house on Pesach, we do mechira nowadays. There are all these halachas and shulchan aruch. You find chametz in your house on Pesach. So what do you do? Burn it, right? Or kofal of kli and yantif, and then burn it in a chol hamoed. Yeah? But we do mechira nowadays. So if you find chametz in your house on Pesach, you know whose chametz you found? In my case, it would be John Brown's chametz I found. So I'm allowed to burn John Brown's chametz. You know what that would make me? A ganav. So how am I allowed to do this? So it happens with John Brown every year. Rabbi Willig asks John Brown, and he says, John, Mr. Brown, he calls him Mr. Brown, he says, a lot of times when Orthodox Jews see chametz in places that they don't expect it to be, because they thought they put it in the cabinets that they marked off for you, and they see it in place, it makes them very uneasy. It makes them very uncomfortable. And so much so that they would really prefer to be able to destroy that chametz. They're not going to touch all the stuff they have in the cabinet for you, but they would really prefer if you would give them permission to destroy that chametz. And John Brown, to date, I've only been involved in that mechir for 13 years, to date, every single time has said, I have no problem, I have plenty of other chametz if I'm hungry. I have no problem if they want to destroy that chametz. So says Rav Asher Weiss, what if you don't have someone who's as thorough as Rabbi Willig, who's going to ask that question? Can you make the assumption that you're allowed to burn the chametz? Says Rav Asher Weiss, ein iser gzeila. There's no iser, ein kol cheshash shel gezel akum sha'asu. There's no concern whatsoever over here, because it's pashut that the guy is not makbid about it, because his entire kavana in doing this kinyan is one of two things. To do ritzoneinu, to do what we want, because he knows that the only way we're going to be able to eat this chametz after Pesach is if we genuinely sell it to him on Pesach, and therefore he definitely doesn't mind if we burn some of it, or so that when he sells it back to us, he can make a profit. He's still going to make that same profit, regardless of whether we burn or we don't. So he says, I have no doubt that you're allowed to do that in that case. So now, certainly a storekeeper who's going and selling it to whoever wants, that's much, much worse. That's a chuch vitlula, that makes a joke out of the whole process. Ulefi kol zeh, says Rav Ashweis, near pashut benidon didan, he says, I think it's a davar pashut, demichad gisa palu apalim betom lev. These workers, it was an honest mistake. They read the instructions. They didn't know what they weren't allowed to, that they shouldn't be dealing with it at all. V'kivin shlo oska labariza, ein shum reyes abetzim ha-mechira. He says, I don't think this creates a reyes ha-mechira. I think that this is valid. Okay, good. So supermarkets under the OU, for example, do not follow Rav Moshe. They're not allowed to continue to function. And if they want to maintain the OU kashrus. Now, let's say you rely on Rav Moshe. So you sell the chametz for a place that continues to function, that continues to operate, like, let's say, a large beer distributor or something like that, right? Let's say you rely on Rav Moshe. That works very well for the chametz that they owned when Pesach started. But if they're continuing to function, you know what's happening on Pesach? They're buying new chametz. Forget about the fact that they're selling chametz that they already sold. Okay, that's geneva. But they're also buying new chametz on Pesach. And that's a davar shelo b'liolam at the time of the sale. You can't sell a davar shelo b'liolam. So they can't sell chametz that they haven't yet bought. And therefore, it would seem to be highly problematic. There was a very great Talmud Chacham who lived in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Rabbi Pinchas Teitz, Zichrono Livracha. Rabbi Teitz was of the opinion that you could do a mechira even for that chametz. That even for that chametz and mechira would work. It does not seem that Rav Moshe held that way. It does not seem that Rav Moshe Feinstein agreed with that. See, even Rav Moshe, who's so makel with allowing chametz that was sold by a Jewish company that's going to continue to do business, would not allow the chametz that was purchased by that business on Pesach. Rabbi Teitz held you could do a mechira, and I believe for many years, I don't think it's still true, but for many years, Rabbi Lazar Meir Teitz, his son, continued doing that mechira, that style of a mechira. Now, if Rav Moshe held anyway that the place that's going to continue to do business you're going to run into problems with their chametz that they buy on Pesach, what's the point of doing the sale? Meaning anyway, they're going to have problems. So what's the point of doing the sale? You're minimizing the amount of chametz that's problematic, right? Meaning any chametz that they had before Pesach, you have now solved. It's not going to be chametz shavar lev Pesach. Obviously, chametz that they only get after Pesach is no problem. And the only problem is the chametz that they get on Pesach. So you just have to time it. Plus, you're helping a Jew avoid violating many more isurim of owning chametz.
Now it's gezel.
Right, so it could be lefeiver. It's going to be machshalem and gezel. Okay, that's what Moshe held. Now, it used to be that most of the major supermarket chains on the East Coast were owned by Jews. I gave the example of Waldbaum's, right? Many of the supermarket chains were owned by Jews. In recent decades, they've all been sold, and they're all mostly under non-Jewish ownership. So it was fantastic. Rabbis assumed this. Rabbi Luban writes, rabbis were doing cartwheels all over. He doesn't say exactly like that, but they were like a sigh of relief, I believe is his lashon. But, you know, they're like, it's so excited. We now no longer have to worry about all the supermarkets. The Jewish supermarkets you don't have to worry about because they close up all their chametz and do a proper mechira. The non-Jewish supermarkets we don't have to worry. And then they discovered that the supplier to all these supermarkets, the largest supplier of groceries to supermarket chains on the East Coast, is a company called C&S, short for Cohn and Siegel. They are the suppliers of the largest supermarket chains on the East Coast. Oy vey. So for a while, Rabbi Lazar Meir Teitz was doing a mechira for them, relying on his father's Zichron Levracha's shita. Very questionable, like we said. Not everyone agreed. In fact, almost everyone disagreed. And therefore, you'd have to like do a whole cheshbon of figuring out, go and figure out if C&S owned chametz for those 8 days, any chametz that they owned during those 8 days, or if you hold against Rav Moshe, even chametz that they owned before those 8 days. But even if you hold like Rav Moshe, chametz that they owned during those 8 days, when is that going to be in my local shop, right? When is that going to be in my local key food? You have to go figure that out. That's impossible to figure out. It's very, very difficult to figure out. So some said, okay, so Safik Drabban Lakula. You can't figure it out. A chametz shavu of Pesach and this is Rabbanan, Savik Rabbanan Lekula. It's a machlokas whether we apply Savik Rabbanan Lekula to chametz shavu of Pesach. Rav Asher Weiss writes in this week's shir that gets sent out that probably we should apply Savik Rabbanan Lekula to chametz shavu of Pesach because, you know, after all, it is, you know, a regular din Rabbanan. But the Shulchan Aruch Harav writes in Sim Tov Mem Ches, D'yesh Omrim D'yesh Lahachmir B'Savik chametz shavu of Pesach. And yeshlochush ledvarvim lo behepsim meruba, that we should be machmir. The reason to be machmir, why is it any different than regular Savik Rabbanan Lekula? Is because the whole chametz shavu lav pesach is a knas. So a knas is to make it very challenging for the person. So it's more chamur than other sveika drabanan. We're trying to give a penalty of some sort. Okay, so you're going to have to go figure all of that out. So that was very, very challenging. So a while ago, Rav Belsky came up with an Eitzah. And this is what's implemented today in CNDS. It's a Talmud, a very close Talmud. Rav Belsky, very chashva Talmud Chacham, does the Mechira. Rav Belsky wrote up the Shtar. And the Shtar was not a Mechira of the Chametz. No, they don't sell the Chametz owned by CNDS. You know what they sell? CNDS. They sell the business. They sell the entire distribution branch of the business. They sell it, and they wrote up a whole shtar, which details exactly, you know, very carefully what's being leased and what's being sold, and that the business, in addition to the chametz being sold, the business is being sold. And the advantage then is that any chametz that's purchased on Pesach by C&S, what? Right, is not going to be a problem by Rabbi Matz, it's going to be bought by a guy. Because it's a non-Jewish owned company. That is a fairly common practice when people own companies. I have a guy in my shul that owns a nursing home, a portion of several nursing homes together with a Jewish partner. Right? So it's all, but these nursing homes are in Minnesota. Right? There's not a Jew in sight where these nursing homes are. So they forget about the Nevelis and Shavis and everything else, all the other Shailas and Basu B'chalav and everything else. But they have, and Shabbos, and what about the Chametz? So Rabbi Willig recommended, okay, let's sell the business, right? Sell the entire business. So this, I suspect, you know, each year you get a list of where you can buy Chametz after Pesach. So usually there will be two sections to the list. They're like, all the places that they say are good, and then in recent years, like on the bottom, it would say like Target and like a couple of other small places, and the idea is that the ones on the bottom of the list that are in like their own category, they're the ones that get supplied by CNDS. So CNDS has a mechira that's done by, but not everyone's so pleased with that mechira. For example, Rabbi Heinemann is not so pleased with that mechira.
Selling the business.
Why? Because the business continues to run exactly the way it always ran. Rabbi Belsky himself writes in his tshuva in Shulchan HaLevi. Rabbi Belsky himself writes, I have so many papers here I can't find it. Rabbi Belsky himself writes in his tshuva in Shulchan HaLevi that Va'ani ba'atzmi medakdek shebnei beisi yiknu chemtzam etzel Yehudim medakdek mitzvah shasam mechira kedas v'stalku mechemtzam silu gamur. He says, my house, we don't rely on any of these funny mechiras. We only rely on a regular mechira, buyer from Jew, who then has nothing to do with the chametz. But he was talking about buying from a supermarket that's owned by... Now you're going to go to your local kosher supermarket, and there's a very good chance that, yes, all the chametz that your local kosher supermarket has is owned, was sold before Pesach, and put away, and they didn't deal with it, of course. But you know what's coming in after Pesach? New chametz, and you know where they're getting it from? CNDS. So they're relying on that mechira. So if you're not going to be happy with that mechira, a lot of your local kosher supermarkets aren't good enough either. And I suspect that's the issue with the beer thing, that it's that same type of mechira. Now, I'm trying to find out if it's the same exact mechira, meaning if they're mamish use Rav Belsky's nusach, or if it's something else, but I suspect that this is the issue. That Rabbi Marcus showed me this morning that they did there was a video that went around in Erev Pesach of the OK Kashrus rabbinic administrator who did the mechira, on behalf of this Jew who owns this beer distribution company. And he said, this Jew does not look like a Jew. You know, he's got like literally carrying a gun, a revealed weapon, like a to the mechira, you know, like I don't know, tattoos all of his arm, whatever he is. And there was like a big deal because the okay is Chabad, right? So they put tefillin on him afterwards. He put on tefillin for the first time in 50 years. They did a whole rikud with him. You know, it was like, yeah, they made a geschmack, right? So that I assume though that they did that like a Rebelsky type of mechira, though I don't know that for sure. But that mistama is the entire controversy. But wait a second, if you want to be makbid, not to rely on that kind of mechira, so all your local kosher supermarkets now become a problem. Not right now, not right after Pesach, but a week or two after Pesach, it becomes a problem. One very important rav in a very major Jewish community who's in charge of a vad of a very major Jewish community who may or may not want to be mentioned, so I'm not going to mention his name, told me that he's going to try to insist next year that in his vad, all of the local Jewish supermarkets buy as much chametz as they're going to need for a month after Pesach, before Pesach. Order whatever they need from C&S before Pesach. Stockpile pasta and cereal, chametz gomer to the extent that they possibly can before Pesach. Sell it with a valid mechira, locking it off, you know, like a real mechira, and then not order again from CNS. I keep saying CNN. CNN is the news, right? Or fake news. But not order again from C&S until, you know, you don't have to be concerned about it anymore, until like a month after Pesach. That's what he wants to insist on next year. And that way you avoid this whole thing. I asked Rav Sacks what he thinks about this. He said, you know, Rav Sacks doesn't like relying on kulas, but he said, like, to take like a public stance against this mechira, he said, it's so big. Meaning, he said, there's no avoiding it. Meaning, it's so big. It's so much food goes through these kinds of companies. So he said, you know, when his shul sends out a list, they send out a list of places that, you know, Passaic, it's not, the local stores don't order from C&S. It happens to be, they're supplied by somebody else, the local kosher places. So, and he sends out a list of the local non-kosher supermarkets also that he knows don't order from C&S. And, you know, and that's it. And that's all he sends out on this. But no public statements of you cannot buy, you cannot do this, you cannot. It's too big. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. So what did the Star K mean that the OK is doing a wonderful thing? They're doing a wonderful thing by selling because otherwise you have real problems, meaning serious Chametz Shavua Lev Pesach. Star K, Rabbi Heinemann, is saying, but I'm still uncomfortable relying for my hashkacha on that mechira of selling the business that's going to continue to run as usual. Now, you could argue, and it's a very compelling argument, that there's a big difference between selling chametz and then continuing to run your business as usual, and selling your business and having the business continue to run as usual. Because you know what happens to most businesses when they get sold? They continue to run as usual. Meaning that's not a reisa on the entire mechira. The new owner may make changes, but first they see what's happening, right? You know, when Derek Jeter bought the Marlins, it took him a few months till he got rid of everybody, right? He first watched games from the owner's box, you know, applauded when Stanton hit like another moonshot or whatever, and then he got rid of him, right? But you take some time first to spend Lamashal, right? You take some time first to so it's not so crazy that it would continue to run as usual. Mori Rabbi Rav Shechter is uncomfortable with the whole type of mechira, because again, the same reason that we said before, of continuing to run as usual, but a case could be made. Certainly they're doing a good thing by doing it, because it's better than not doing it. So that, there's no doubt. Question is whether one should rely on it, so that's what these Twitter wars are all about. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful Shabbat.